This show is brought to you by Sex Coach University, the premier organization for training and certifying sex coaches around the world to bring about sexual self-realization for all people in 28 countries and growing strong. Visit Sex Coach U today for your free breakthrough to sex coaching discovery session.
Hi, we're Dr. Patty Britton
and Dr. Robert Dunlap,
nationally board certified clinical sexologists, sex coaches, and much more. Check out our cred at our websites. Yes, we're the pioneers in the world of sex coaching as the co-founders of sexcoachu.com. And today, we're here to bring you the sizzle. We call ourselves the Boom Doctors. We bring the boom back into baby boomers' lives through entertainment highlights such as our take on new films, breaking news about boom life, books and DVDs to watch for your boomification, travel tips, health information, and of course, our specialty,
sex.
Listen weekly as we bring you to places, people, and things, and insights to lift your boom factor to a 10. We know you want to get the boom back into your life now, so don't miss our chat with other famous sex docs, natural healers, authors, nutritionists, health experts, specialists in all aspects of life, ready to boost your boom. Come with us, also boomers, around the world to peek into the world of boomaliciousness with a sexy flair. Ready? Here we go.
Boom, 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 boom!
Hello, and welcome to the Boom Doctors. This is Dr. Roberts.
And Dr. Patty.
Hey, Dr. Patty. Another exciting show. And this one has secrets. The secrets of life and death.
Oh, we are so strange sound, Robert. We're making, really, I think, inroads into some aspect of living that I don't think we've ever had anyone really talk about. So I'm really excited to be interviewing you, Dr. Michelle, because your work is extraordinary. I'm on your website right now, secretsoflifeanddeath.com. And I just want to say thank you for taking the time, and I want to find out how did you get into all this. So welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Patty and Dr. Robert.
Yes, we're all doctors here today.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all doctors here today, yes.
But what I love about your background is that you began, your website has this beautiful, beautiful description of your work and your evolution. And you began as a documentary filmmaker and a sociologist to change the way people think and talk about death. And I know, having lost a daughter at a young age, she was in her 30s when she died, and Robert has lost many people in his life as well to HIV AIDS, which is what also got my daughter. And so it's something that we have experienced together, being life partners and business partners, and it's not talked about. It's not understood. It's like this big taboo topic, right? So how did you get into this? Tell us about the evolution of all this work.
Well, not unsurprising, I got into it when my parents died. And up until that time, I had never given much thought at all to death. I mean, you know, I was aware of it, and I had a spiritual practice, and so I had that sense of divine, and that, you know, there was something after life. But when it came to the reality of death, of somebody actually dying, I knew nothing. And I was totally, totally overwhelmed by it when I went back to help my mother. First, my father died, and then 6 months later, my mother died. So it was kind of like this double whammy.
Wow.
Whoa.
And yeah. Because...
And that happens.
That happens, yeah, a lot, you know. They say things happen in threes, but actually for me, they sort of happen in fours. Like, I lost four people that year. And then about 5 or 6 years later, I lost four more, and I haven't lost anybody since, but I can feel it's kind of coming up again.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it is, and even just, you know, I don't know how old your parents were. I you know, I'm assuming having Alzheimer's, et cetera. But what happens is, as we know it, people die when they're in a long-term partnership, and then very soon after, the other one follows because they're so bonded, right?
It's true. And what's interesting, Patty, is that they're bonded even if they're not close. There's some sort of energetic bonding. I mean, it's funny. My husband tells me the story of a close family friend who died in the same hospital on the same floor as her ex-husband, and they died within 2 days of each other, and of similar ailments, and they hadn't seen each other for years. It's like,
wow.
And I hear that all the time. We are connected in ways.
We are
connected in ways that we don't know. I mean, they had children together, so there was a bonding there, even though they broke up, you know.
So tell us about the documentary series. It's so compelling, and I wish I had made the time before to take a look at it, but we haven't had that wonderful opportunity. Talk to us about that.
Well, thank you. That was my response to losing my parents, was I decided to make a film because I felt like I had made a lot of mistakes, and I was just getting into video at that time. I had a TV show over in San Francisco called On the Edge, and I was looking at all these sort of esoteric things and had both live and recorded shows, and I decided to bring some people on the show to talk about death, because it was like in my face, and I was like fascinated, you know. It was that sort of sociological curiosity. It's like, wow, this stuff is big. And then I decided, no, this is what I have to make a documentary about. And let me tell you, the first time you make a documentary, it takes forever. So you better pick a topic that really holds your interest. And
it took me 6 years to do The Life Story of Xaviera Hollander.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it, you know.
We live a documentary filmmaker life, we know.
Exactly. So, and then it morphed into three. I was going to make one, and then it turned out I actually had three different stories to tell, and I made them short so that I could, like 20, 30 minutes, so that people could have conversations around this. And so, you know, for the last, 16 years, I've been showing various forms of the documentaries until they got finished, getting people into dialogue about this subject. I still do it.
So great.
Whoa.
So what are the three aspects? I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
The three aspects of death or grief or what?
Why and how did you break it into three parts? The documentary
series. Thank you. Three parts. One was facing death. It just logically fell into that. One is facing death. One is caregiving, and one is grieving. I actually have a fourth one that I still need to finish, but it's really different from the others, and that's about life after loss, which is what my work is all about, is how people take that devastating experience of a significant loss and turn it into power and fuel for their next phase of their life.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
Ooh.
And does that lead into what your grief transformational coaching program is all about?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I treat grief as a gateway. Not as something to get over, but actually as something that informs our life. Most of us have tons of losses that we've had throughout our lives, and we, in this culture, tend to tap it down, to put it aside, to compartmentalize it. When you have a significant loss, it really knocks you off of that place of safety until you really have to look at what's going on. And then what happens is, if you really step into it and you really look at that loss and the feelings around it, then other things sort of bubble to the surface. So it's a chance to really clean house.
That is so true. Tell us more about the program and what you offer people in that way.
Well, I do a 90-day program, and it's really designed to help people transform, to go from surviving to thriving. to have a breakthrough. And that's the purpose, is to do more than just let's get over this grief, but let's use this to inform our lives, to see what the lessons are underneath. And part of what I teach them is how to allow the feelings. So many of us really don't know how to allow feelings. I certainly did not know how to allow feelings when I first came into it. That's the gift of a significant loss, is it kind of blasts through our reserve and our stiff upper lip and our, you know, strength. It breaks through that, and we start to feel. And it feels awful, but I teach my clients how to allow that feeling so they don't get overwhelmed.
Oh, it sounds so exciting. And you come from this wonderful background. Your doctoral thesis was called Reality Transformation and Gestalt Therapy Group. And,
that's right.
And focusing on mental adjustments that people have to make when they have a dramatic or drastic life change. I can only imagine that gave you such a platform to jump from, right? Having all that gestalt awareness and background and training as sociologists, right?
It does help, yes. And you know what else I bring to the mix is that I actually worked on the Navajo reservation for 5 years in a behavioral program. It's now called cognitive psychology. And so I bring, you know, I bring both the humanistic and also the concrete into the mix. So that's how I can really help people, is I really teach them, you know, how to think about themselves. I have to say that when I was working in that program, I brought a lot of humanism into it. So when we were teaching these children how to behave differently, we were actually working on how they were thinking about themselves and others. So it was very, you know, the stories that we tell each other.
I love it. And I'm looking on your webpage, your Secrets of lifeanddeath.com, the About Us page, and you have this wonderful sign-up box for Essentials for Grieving Well. What can people get if they sign up there?
Well, it is a little mini-book of my own illustrations. If they want to get an idea of my illustrations, they should also check out Secrets of Life and Death on Facebook, because I've been posting my little cartoons there with really valuable information for the last month, maybe more.
And every day. What's their Facebook? How do they find you on Facebook?
Okay, so just search for, in the top thing, Secrets of Life and Death, and it'll pop up.
Okay.
That's great. So one of the things that I know, and I'm hearing from a lot of other people, that in a way when people divorce, it's also like the death of that relationship as well. And I spoke with someone yesterday just about that. And because we have so many people who are, as they age, are having many more relationships in their lifetime. Can you talk a little bit about that? Is that something
Yes, totally.
Well?
So I address all kinds of losses. I had a client who had a lung transplant, so she was grieving the loss of her lungs and that previous life. So I deal with all kinds of losses. And also, whatever loss it is that you come to me with, we're going to go dig deep and we're going to find out what else is under the hood. So generally, we find that there are other significant losses in a person's life that maybe they put aside. It always happens. They come to me for one reason, and I find out that they lost their mother when they were like 8 or something. And a lot of those losses have never been grieved. But you're right, Dr. Robert, that the loss of a relationship or the loss of an identity or the loss of a dream, these are all significant losses. And my program can address those just as well, because the process is the same. And they can be that doorway, that gateway that helps us to see what it is that we need to learn.
have a question about triggering old loss. What I find for myself is that when I experience a loss or kind of like tapping into something new that happens to me where there's a significant traumatic, in quotes, kind of loss, it reactivates a chain inside me of all of the griefs and losses that have gone before. Often it goes back to losing my daughter, which happened in 2004. And I'm wondering if we have medical science to explain, is there actually a brain linkage, or is this more on a metaphysical level or energetic level? Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't know if I'm saying it well.
That all those thoughts come up. Well, I don't know the science behind it. I can make up the science behind it. It's that we associate. We try to make sense of things through our past experience. So that's. You know, the way in which we're wired in our brains is that's how we learn how to do things, is we, or how do I handle this particular situation? Well, I think to a past situation that's similar. And so naturally, the past losses are going to come up. And there's probably a place also in the brain where those major emotional events are stored. And so you bring that in. And it brings it up. I don't know if you've ever noticed the experience of when you're... I don't know if I can explain this to you. If you know more than one language and you hear a foreign language, it'll also bring up the other foreign language. It's like they all come up together. Well, it's similar, I think. Yeah. That it's, they're stored in the same place, and so it brings those things up. But it's also... great, because it's an opportunity to look and see where you haven't finished your grieving.
Exactly. And I wonder if we ever finish our grieving. I think that there's something, you know, as a clinician, I get a lot of clients, well, not a lot, but some clients, and I see it among friends and colleagues as well, who might be dating someone who ended a relationship or lost a partner 2-3 years prior, and they feel that they're, quote, ready to be in the dating scene again. And what happens is they become intimate, and the person discovers that this new person who has had the loss is not over their grieving. And so I'm just wondering, because I see you as a grief expert, do we ever really finish grieving, or do we just begin to transform it?
Well, that's like asking, do we ever finish growing? You know, we're always growing, and there's always something more to mine there. What changes over time is that the memories become more bittersweet. And if you learn to connect it with love rather than sorrow, you know, it can be just a delicious pleasure. When we remember those people, and that's part of what I try and... what I teach my clients is how to change the story, you know, so that the emotions that come up, oh yeah, there's this little piercing in the heart, but that's love. It's not bad. Embrace it.
Beautiful. So that the grieving, what I hear you saying is that maybe I'm interpreting it, but maybe the intense grieving, which is like being hit by a UPS truck and you can't move, that happens for a period of time. That's, you know, a very intensified kind of fresh grief. But maybe the lingering effect is about using cognitive psychology, as you've said, and reframing it, restoring it so that it becomes a marker for how valuable that experience was, how much you love that person or whatever. It doesn't have to be a person either. You know, it could be a pet. It could be a dream, as you said, you know, longing for something you wish you had but you didn't, and now it's too late. Like, I, you know, maybe I wanted to be a ballerina. That is not going to happen now. And so, no way. So there's something about what you're saying that is so, it resonates for me, and I imagine for Robert, you too, right?
Yes, and I think that everybody has their own way of grieving. And certain things, you know, can the end of a relationship sometimes can just be absolutely joyful and cathartic. I mean, as I've said to you, I had cartwheels at the end of one of my relationships going, my God, I'm finally free.
Well, here's the thing, Dr. Robert, is that that's true, but there's also this energetic connection. And there also is this mental connection. If you spent a long time with somebody, and it can impact your behavior. I had a very close friend who was recently divorced from her husband, and it was a mutually satisfactory conclusion because they weren't getting along anymore. And yet, because she didn't deal with some of the stuff that comes up from breaking a significant bond like that, she went through relationship after relationship after relationship. It took her a year and a half, and finally when she addressed the grief underneath that and some of the things that that brings up, then she was able to be more fully present in her new relationship. And then the serial stuff stopped. So there, like Dr. Patty, you mentioned that, you know, there's that first part of the grief where it feels like you've been hit by a was it a UPS truck or was it a FedEx truck?
UPS truck.
There is a way in which our brains, it takes a while for those brains to reabsorb this new information, that person that was part of our daily life is not there anymore. And so every time the little neural nets go down that pathway, they hit this huge void, and it's a shock to the body. So it takes a while for the brain to get used to it. A lot of my clients would talk about it as being, when they lost their partners, it was like losing a limb.
It
was like you felt like a part of you was missing. And, you know, if you lost a limb, it would take a long time to heal that, wouldn't it?
You were talking about transformation, and I was just curious, you know, that must be some type of the process that you work with the client. Can you kind of give us an idea about that process?
Yes, I can do that. The process has a number of steps to it, but it starts out first with allowing feelings. You can't go anywhere. You can't even change the story until you start first with the feelings, the emotions. I liken it to we are in this world, in this lifetime.
Stop. Something's happening and we're having a beep out, and so sir, can you I'm hearing a beep out. There's nothing going on with my phone and it's cutting out her words. Do you know what's happening? Can you hear her? Okay, then it must be happening on my end. Okay, so you can leave, and I'll just have her repeat that. Okay.
You want to do it as a pickup?
So, Michelle.
Yes.
Sorry, there's a beeping out going on our end. So, if you could just say again, what is your transformational coaching like? You were talking about that.
Yes. So, what I start with are feelings. This is like ground zero. We have to start with the feelings because we are in this life inhabiting these bodies, these physical organisms, and they have specific needs. And it turns out that the emotions are wired into our body. They're part of our way of surviving. And if you don't allow those emotions out, they can really mess you up. And you spend a lot of time, a lot of muscular energy holding those emotions down. Once you learn to master allowing those feelings in a way that they don't overwhelm you or you don't get caught in a cycle, then you can move on to other things, important things like forgiveness and closure and changing the story so that you can actually move forward into your new life.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you use Kubler-Ross's stages of grieving at all, or do you have your own stages?
You know, I don't use Kubler-Ross's stages of grieving, although I'm familiar with it and I know it and I understand it, but it's more about just allowing the feelings wherever they are and however they show up. So I don't, stratify or identify them as different. It's like, what are you feeling today? And where are you feeling it? Where is it in this body? Let's allow it out. And then let's see what comes up when we allow that feeling out. And that is the thread that I pull on. You know, I don't want people to get too much into their rational part of their mind, you know, with typologies and categories. I want them to get into their feelings.
Wow. That's beautiful. Yeah. So how do people find you? How do they reach you if they want to do some work around this transformational grief coaching?
Well, they can go to my website. There's a place for contacting me, and they can go ahead and contact me. But I would really recommend that they look through my website. There are a lot of recordings of interviews with me on the website, and they can take a look at some of the films, because that's fun to look at, or read my blogs and decide whether or not I'm somebody that really resonates with them. And then if they feel like it's a good match, to go ahead and email me. And if it looks like a good match, I'm happy to offer a complimentary one-on-one telephone grief and loss breakthrough session where we can talk about what their issue is and see whether we're a fit to work together.
That's so beautiful. And I want everybody listening to pop over to your website, secretsoflifeanddeath.com, and click on your blog and see, not only are you a great healer, but what an artist. Oh, I love your work. This is so fabulous. These little animals and just the joy that is everywhere. And is this a Stegosaurus, your main character here?
Oh, no, he's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. He's the real...
Oh, he's a T-Rex. Okay, sorry.
But he's a very, very...
he's
a sweet T-Rex.
Museum of History.
This is so cool. Well, we unfortunately, we ran out of time, and there's just so much more to talk about with you, so maybe we'll have you back and talk more about some of these amazing articles that you have on your blog. But I really am so grateful to have met you and know about this really important work that you're doing around grief and loss, because it's a part of life that few people dare to tread, and yet we all experience it all the time. So
one way or another.
Yeah.
That's so true.
You so much.
You're so welcome.
Great to have you. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Robert.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for being a guest on our show. We have all of our shows as well archived at theboomdoctors.com, and we have some wonderful video travel stuff that we do all over the world. So anyway, Dr. Patty, it's that time to say it. It's boom, 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 boom.
Thanks again, Dr. Michelle. And for everybody listening, have a safe and sexy week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Boom, 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 boom.